Johnny, you got that.
Welcome to the third episode of Tell Me You Got That podcast. Welcome to all of our return listeners and to our new listeners. You're in for a ride. My name is Hayden. I'll be one of your three hosts for today's episode. Joining me is
Zach
and
Sam.
And together we are the Tell Me You Got That podcast. Today we are going to be reviewing an interesting movie. Before we tell you what that is, we've got a fun little game. It is the 20-word improvised recap. So who's going first? I reckon Sam's going to go first.
Can do.
Go for it.
White man lives whole life to date in simulation, but gradually starts to think maybe this ain't so real. Huh?
Bennett.
It took all my material, really, but let's, I'll give it a crack.
Can't use any of the same words either.
All right. This one guy is living his life and he thinks it's normal, but then he thinks, oh, no, it's not.
Was that 20 words?
Really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting take. It adds some real new information.
Yeah.
Since what Sam said. I'll see how I go.
Well, pretend I'm going to edit it so I went first.
All right, here we go. Man in idyllic town has seemingly perfect life, but notices strange happenings and inconsistencies, and slowly his life unravels. Truth, question mark?
So they were all kind of the same.
Yeah. I think if you haven't got it already, the movie is The Truman Show. There was this interesting I'm not going to try and say that word.
Phenomenon.
Lock it in. After the movie, many, many people started experiencing Truman show style. There's actually, they called it the Truman experience or something like that, where people were thinking that they were living in a reality show.
Because it's the perfect show to put out there to dissuade people, to get them to go, oh, okay, well, and they wouldn't make a show like this if I really was in a dome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I found that quite interesting. But yeah, great movie. Really enjoyed it. It was great revisiting it. And yeah, really quite a good show.
Tell me you got that.
Moving on to the next section. So we're going to do good cast, bad cast, which is where if the movie is good, then we recast the actors with bad actors. And if the movie was bad, we recast the bad actors with good actors. I think the consensus is that all the key actors were good.
Yeah,
agree.
So we're recasting with bad.
I'd say so.
Pretty good.
All right, I might kick us off. So my bad cast for Truman is Dana Carvey. Really channeling like Master of Disguise, like all of these horrible impressions, and pretty much just thinking of him as Garth from Wayne's World the whole time. Just completely non-charismatic, really underfoot character. There would be no reason why anyone would be interested in him at all. And that's why I cast him. Does anyone else have a better bad cast for Truman?
I had John Krasinski, but he'd be kind of really acting. Oh, is that a sigh because you went for the same guy?
I chose John Krasinski.
Oh, boy. Well, I think we would have had the same reason then.
Should have gone first.
Mine was because he'd just be acting like Jim and he'd just be constantly seeking out the camera and looking at them at awkward moments. They'd be going, how does he keep spotting these? Does he know where he is?
Well, I've got John Krasinski as Jim Halpert specifically as well, but because
he's squinting really hard at his nose and pulling a really dumb face.
Because he cares so little about everything. And it would shrug everything off and just be like, oh, whatever. And he wouldn't face the issue and sail away in the end like Truman does or Jim Carrey does. If it was Jim, he'd just be like, oh, fuck this. He doesn't care.
And just his freaky ability to just pinpoint wherever cameras are and just look at them at the perfect moment would ruin things. It would make it so inorganic.
Why can't we both say John Krasinski as Jim Halpert?
You guys are just the same guy. All right, Meryl. So Meryl's, of course, Truman's wife in the show.
Laura Linney.
Laura Linney. is the actor that plays Meryl. So I had Tara Reid. So really the antithesis of like perfect housewife. She's going to have smut the whole time. She's got like smudged mascara and she's like drinking and fairly promiscuous and really ruining the vibe of the show, where Truman really wants to go and explore, and she's kind of like trying to always bring him back to Earth, where she'd be like, yeah, let's go, and just be ruining the whole show for the rest of them. So that's
and does she always get really hyped up and worked up whenever there's like a storm on and like get freaked out that maybe there's a Sharknado on the loose?
I never really thought about that, but yes. Anyone have a better Meryl?
Yeah, sure. I'll go before Zach again.
I went with
Rodney Dangerfield.
You fuck.
No, really?
What does this say?
Really? Oh my god, really?
But that
cancel was... Cancel the show. The show's cancelled.
But this is going to be a bit... If we do take it in turns doing them all, I was going to say Rodney Dangerfield for all three.
Okay.
But then... We did it one at a time, so I wasn't going to mention Rodney Dangerfield, but now you brought Rodney Dangerfield up, I'm like, just mention my part now, so that's done.
So I've only half stolen your thunder for
kinda.
This one. Okay. Wow, that's freaky. Mine was basically just because, well, partly because Truman just may not be sexually oriented that way. That could like be kind of funny if the show creators really try to push him towards a much older man. And just the fact that he'd just be making cheesy kind of like, oh, you don't get no respect around this household type joke the entire time.
has he come up in as previous? He has, right? We've cast him before.
We did. We cast him in...
Was it Seven?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because he'd be so bad. Yeah. He'd replace any actor in a really bad way.
He'd suck the tension out of everything and just...
So is he in a wig, or is he trying to play like a wife, or is he a house husband?
That would be perfect if they had a really low budget $2 store wig for him, and he tried to play the part. That would make it even better, in my opinion, I think. But he didn't do anything to modify his voice or character in any way. Yeah.
They may as well just... Rodney Dangerfield through his whole career probably should have just glued his two fingers to his collar just to save himself the effort.
I love how much airtime Rodney Dangerfield gets on our podcast.
He's been dead for so long. All right.
Is he?
I don't know.
Oh, he's dead.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He yanks too hard.
And the way
collar.
That... You know how they do like little adverts during the show in the Truman Show? Like, oh, this cocoa is fantastic. And they do it towards a camera that's hidden in the room. But Rodney, he could be like, oh boy, glad I've got a TC tugger. And like, it doesn't it withstands all these tugs
these
and it doesn't
elastic,
wear out.
These elastic collars are perfect on my cold dead fingers. All right, he's dead also somehow. Ben, have you got anything to add on the Rodney Dangerfield casting?
No, I'm done with Rodney Dangerfield.
You got another one for Meryl?
For Laura Linney, yeah.
Okay, all right.
So it's Christopher Judge. I'm done with Rodney Dangerfield. We're not talking about Rodney Dangerfield.
Are we talking about Meryl still?
Yeah.
All right.
Laura Linney. So here it is. Yeah. Christopher Judge as Tilk from Stargate SG-1.
As Meryl.
As Meryl, yeah. Because he doesn't show very much expression or emotion
so
ever.
So he's still got the like thing on his head. The symbol.
He can.
The
can
and
have,
they never explain it either.
They can have that on there. That's optional. They can take that off or leave it. But that's the only thing that can change. Because he'd be really, like, with his lack of expression and emotion, he'd be really bad with this product placement that she's always doing. They wouldn't sell a single...
Cutter, so like the hot cocoa, for example, he'd say minimal nourishment, pleasant taste, the end.
Yeah. Now get this camera off my fucking face.
Yeah.
And then they'd stop saying camera, stop saying that there's a camera in the room.
And then he'd have flashbacks to all the traumatic experiences he had with SG-1.
So he's playing him who existed in the universe of SG-1 beforehand.
Yeah.
And so anyone who hasn't seen Stargate SG-1, he also is the voice of, in God of War. What's his face? What's his character's name?
Kratos. Yeah.
Now we're recasting Christoph, who's of course a director that's controlling the whole shebang. So I had Taylor Lautner.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm specifically channeling that terrible movie Abduction, of course, and of course
Twilight.
Yeah. And so he's like, at every opportunity, he's taking his shirt off. It turns into wolf sometimes.
can he control it?
Smoldering. Yeah, he can control it. And he's just like, gets distracted and like smoldering looks into the distance.
And he's imprinting on
and
babies.
And he's younger than Jim Carrey, so he's.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, they. they put like makeup on him trying to make it look old. That's really poor, terribly executed makeup.
But who was running the show
before he was born?
No, he's older. He's trying to play an older guy. That's part of the bad casting. This is bad casting. He's obviously younger. Bad makeup. He's got no shirt on.
I don't get it. That wouldn't be a very good casting choice.
Yeah, I don't think you'd make it in Hollywood.
Did anyone else have a worse Christoph?
Mine was just going to be Michael Bay for the director, and he's playing Michael Bay in the movie where he really traumatizes Truman because he just wants to fit as many explosions into Truman's life as possible. And so Truman's got huge anxiety disorder because he's just constantly flinching from every sound.
Yeah. Well, they did a good enough job fucking him up anyway.
That's true.
Giving him that trauma of the sea and...
Yeah.
When his dad died.
Yeah.
That's fucking horrible. That's a good one.
It made a good show, though, and the ratings popped off.
All right, my replacement for Ed Harris is Wallace Shawn. I was trying to think of someone with, like, maybe a slightly annoying voice because Ed Harris has this, like, you know, like, very genius, methodical, like... I don't know, aloof sort of atmosphere about him.
A deep, rich kind of tone like mine.
Yeah, and when he talks, it's just like Sam O'Neill. And you're like, you get lost in his words because it's so alluring. And then I thought, I was trying to think of anyone that had like a maybe a slightly annoying voice in like Hollywood, but then I kept coming back to Wallace Shawn.
And for those not obviously in this room, but in other rooms listening to this podcast.
Or outside of any room, just outdoors.
Yeah, people outdoors aren't going to be listening to this. Who is Wallace Shawn?
Wallace Shawn, he's the guy that says inconceivable in Princess Bride.
Inconceivable!
Right?
So that should keep you up to date now.
So just, if you don't get it from that, I don't think you know who he is.
He's also, he does the voice of the T-Rex from Toy Story.
Toy Story, yeah, that's good. But then okay, you're not going to get a face.
Yeah, but do you need it if you're talking about the voice, though?
Well, in this context, yeah, the voice. But his voice isn't so annoying when he's the T-Rex guy.
Yeah, in Toy Story. It's more whimsical and crisp.
In The Princess Bride, I feel like he has a pretty grating voice most of the time.
Yeah, they did intentionally damage his vocal cords just for the role.
Yeah.
Look, his top billing is for Princess Bride on IMDb. So.
He does also play, as Hayden's scrolling through IMDb, I see that he's in The Incredibles. He plays the boss from The Incredibles who gets thrown through 50 walls by Mr. Incredible, if that helps anybody.
Yeah, so Wallace Shawn, next.
Nice. Well, that caps off a pretty average Good Cut podcast.
Tell me you got that.
Moving on, this is one of my favourite segments, and it is prequel or sequel. So this is where we get to make either a prequel to the movie or a sequel to the movie, The Truman Show. I might kick us off. So this movie is a sequel called Obsession. And so after Truman escapes, the show ends. Christoph can't shake his obsession to find out how it ends, referencing the button on Sylvia's jacket from earlier in the movie. So he begins kidnapping 30-year-old men and taking them to various islands. Because Christoph has spent most of his life manipulating people, he escapes capture and is always one step ahead of authorities. The leader of the investigation has absolutely no leads and so turns to the one person who knows Christoph best, Truman. She finds Truman living in a temple in India, ripped as fuck, cum gutters and all. She eventually convinces him to join her, and she takes Truman to a Minority Report-style pool where he relives some of his most painful memories where he was trapped on set. And he taps, and this helps him tap into the twisted mind of Christoph and think about what he would do next. And he does a precog-style projection of where he's going to be, and they find Christoph and stop him.
Ooh.
And that's kind of like a buddy cop psychological thriller.
That's cool.
And that's called Obsession.
Ooh, nice. And so these islands that he takes people to, does he own them as well, or he just loves transporting?
Yeah, he's amassed massive. He runs basically the biggest show of all time, so he's made a lot of money. So he's already got a few islands, and he can pay for it. It's all been planning. It's a backup plan.
Yeah.
For when Truman. When and if Truman escaped or died. Yeah. That's why he was happy to like almost let him die in the film.
That's right. Yeah,
in the end of the film where he's making all the waves and the sea go crazy.
He kind of cared more about the narrative than the actual...
Because he's like, that would be a great way to end and I've got a backup plan.
Yeah.
So So yeah, obsession.
Yeah, that's good. And did they constantly make reference to the fact that, oh, wow, Truman, you're ripped as fuck. Whoa.
I think so. I think there's a period of time where they really need to acknowledge it, because a lot of, you know, because Jim Carrey went to a lot of effort.
Probably like a 10 to 12 minute chunk of the movie.
They keep panning across his abs just in scenes that it's not even relevant to.
And they're always like spraying him, like misting him up.
And sometimes they have continuity errors where they still get the spray guy in shot.
I'd watch that. That's great.
Lock it in.
And they pan across, like they'll have serious scenes where they're talking about something really dark, but then they just always cut to his abs and pan across him and out again, as per Jim Carrey's wishes.
Yeah, that's the only way they could get him into it. I'm only coming back for Truman 2 obsession if I can be ripped as fuck and you can just get my abs in it as much as possible. Who wants to go next?
Happy to. Mine is just a short one. Pick it apart as much as you can. so essentially, it's a pretty simple premise where it kind of plays a little bit like, if anybody's seen it, the Rick and Morty episode, M. Night Shyamalan's, and kind of like the interdimensional cable, Real Fake Doors, where it just kind of continues on directly from the previous one, where Christoph is kind of really dejected and is like, oh boy, this was my whole life's work. What am I going to do now? And he leaves the studio and he gets in his car and starts driving. And this is just a cold opening for the intro. And then as he's driving, it pans out from the car, pans out of the dome that he's just left. And surrounding the dome that he's left is a bigger dome. And so essentially the whole movie is him. Is about how he was the actual simulation. Truman was in on it the entire time, as was everybody else. And then my idea, maybe if this could be too much of a cash grab, is that the director who is in the studio directing the Christoph show is they call it rap, and like, yeah, that was fantastic. And then they pan out again.
The next one, the next movie. How deep does it go?
That's the thing. I'm thinking of creating a whole dome cinematic universe where we just milk this for as much as we can.
And is there one further deeper than Truman's? Like, is Truman's like the lowest that it goes?
That's a good point. Maybe we could do like a prequel.
And who's running the Truman? Like the smaller one in Truman's world.
That's for that. I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead, but maybe like Truman.
How far does it go?
As a toddler, thinks that he's running the show of somebody else's life.
This is getting pretty deep.
Yeah.
This is very like 13th floor Matrix vibes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
because the A at the end of the 13th floor, that's how it ends. It's kind of like he gets to the real reality, he thinks. And then like someone pulls a plug and he dies.
How do these domes work? Do they, the big ones, are they Earth size?
70% of planet Earth space is taken up by these domes.
Yeah.
Surely it must be an alien race that's doing it, because the human race can't afford that much space. There's 7 billion people.
Yeah. Just to keep the lights on would be taking everybody's. Yeah.
And so in bigger domes, there's obviously a small dome inside, and in the bigger ones, there's like a surrounding circle of land. This is where the
fake, it's so wasteful.
This is where the fake cities are, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And then there's
so.
A bigger dome, and then there's only a little bit of land around that. Then there's a fake city there.
Because if it's around the dome, then like the actual like space that you can build a city is like around the edges of another dome. So there's this big circle in the middle that's going to be occupying space. So how do they explain that?
That's.
Is there a big circular lake in the middle of the world, and maybe everyone's and they're afraid of water as well?
They could do that. They could just maybe, or they could agree upon a backstory that a meteor hit and created a really perfect. I don't, but it was radioactive, and they had to seal it off.
Yeah, they could just block that whole thing off and give some bullshit excuse, like in the Truman Show. Where's the real world?
The real world.
Is there a real world, or is it all just domes?
Well, this is getting into what I had planned for another segment. Part of, I think, another part of the segment, but I guess loosely.
We'll come back to that. Huh?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, save that for.
You want to save that?
Yeah.
Save it?
Yeah, we'll save that.
Bennett, what do you got?
All right, here's mine. So Truman snaps after he escapes and decides he wants revenge on Christoph. He's going to dedicate his life to that now. So he kidnaps him and forces him to live a fake life for 30 years. He basically holds him captive in a section of his house. Oh yeah, and films it for the internet, but it's like it's a very hidden location, so no one can find him and like free Christoph if they want. They probably do. The authorities probably want to free him, but they can't find him because he's in such a. No one can track it down where it is. It's just like this room and nothing else that gets filmed, and then eventually he introduces a new character, Marlon, because he wants revenge on him too, because of like his whole friendship and life was a lie. And he was like telling him like, oh, am I in on it, Truman? And he was. He's lying to him his whole life. Yeah. I reckon he wants revenge on him as well. Yeah,
I think he'd probably be more revenge-filled on Marlon than he would be on the director.
That speech he makes towards the end is like...
Yeah, you might be right, but I've given him 15 years. I gave Christoph 30 years and I gave Marlon 15 years.
So Truman has carried out very exact judgments on how long he feels they should be in there.
Yeah. So it's just Marlon and Christoph for 15 years in the end. The last 15 years of this... this show, I don't know how he ends it. I don't know.
Does he play it like a rom com, or
does he? he tries to make him like.
And they're not feeling it at all. There's no chemistry.
Yeah, true. Truman's always trying to set him up. Yeah. Come on, guys.
My viewers are like, I'm getting a lot of response that people want this.
It'd be funny too if like his show was tanking hard and he was really upset about it. He's like, come on, you guys are going to do something.
I need this to be a hit. I've got no other avenues for...
This has to be a hit. That's mine. Next.
Love it.
And does he have like a shock collar on them or something just in case they ever look at... Because they can't... forget the fact that they're in a show, whereas he didn't know for most of his life. Does he have like a shock collar in case they ever look at the camera or they break?
Oh, they're allowed to look at the camera and plead for someone to come and help them. That's kind of what he wants. That's what Truman wants. He's like, please, if someone sees this, come help us. You can find us if you look hard enough. But like the thing is, they can't.
Okay, so that's good. He wants to be organic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting though, because I guess Truman would probably be at a massive fair bit of wealth after he leaves, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so he does spend time gathering the funds he needs to support this project.
Because really, the FBI would seize and freeze all of his assets after a certain point. And so he'd have to amass some wealth and then just buy a bunch of stuff.
So what they were able to ascertain is that, yeah, he did cash out all of his wealth. He had a massive bundle of cash with him when he left. And the last, like, they lost the track of him after that and they could never find him again. Yeah.
You can imagine, like, that would scar you to the level where you do, like, full facial reconstruction surgery and, like, go off grid. You've basically been on grid intensely for, like, the first 30 years of your life.
Because in the Truman Universe, I don't know how would it work, because it looks like it's the number one obsession of everybody.
Yeah. Until obsession comes in.
Exactly. It takes the world by storm. To be the most well-known person and most intimately known person and have it be a one-way thing. You don't know anybody back. Have they seen him masturbate? I don't know. Did they film everything? Every time he has sex, are they camering, zooming up?
Actually, there'd been a lot of masturbation captured over his life, I'm sure.
Or would they just go to like, we're having technical difficulties, or we'll be right back.
Well, they referenced it about him like having sex with... his wife, Meryl, and how, like, it was like almost right at the start where they're like, oh, no, nah, you never see anything. You know, there's always like the wind blows, a curtain in front, or whatever. So they kind of make excuses for the sex part, but yeah, they definitely don't get into masturbation. But I reckon it's a missed opportunity.
Because what if the moment just strikes Truman really rapidly and they're not ready for it and they don't pan away quick enough?
You know when he's like drawing the the astronaut thing? He just like draws that, starts to it, and then just immediately just drops his pants and starts going hell for leather. I feel like that would enhance that scene.
Got that.
Would you rather is the segment. So I'm going to propose a would you rather to you two gents, and you're going to give me your would you rathers. Would you rather be in the Truman Show for the first 30 years of your life or the final 30 years of your life?
Oh.
And let's just assume for argument's sake that the Truman lives for like 70 years, so he's got 10 years in between where he's not.
I'm going to say the last years of my life.
Why?
I'll let you be the judge of that. No, I think because everything's looked after and you're like, you're not doing anything with your life at that point anyway. You may as well just live in like a simulation world where everything's sorted for you and you don't have to...
So it's kind of like your retirement.
Basically, yeah. It's right. A nice place to retire. It would be a nice place to retire, actually. And whereas I'd want to have the start of my life free to do whatever I want and just be free.
Yeah, gotcha.
Instead of...
And become your own... Because he would be questioning the whole time, like, who am I? Because
his
whole identity has been shaped by actors and people and the place around him has been manufactured. So how does he know even who he is?
Yeah.
Whereas I guess in your scenario, you know who you are from that first 30 years.
Yeah.
And you can kind of control, you can control how you're reacting to things. Whereas like Truman would have never really, even his reaction to things are almost manufactured or influenced by, Christoph.
Yeah. He's so fucked up from that whole experience.
Yeah.
So first 30 years or last 30 years, and they kill you at 60.
No. There's, let's say he lives to 70.
Yeah.
Right. So either way, there's 10 years in the middle.
And they make sure of it.
They keep you alive, but they do not keep you alive beyond that point. That's really tricky. That's a good one.
It's in a universe where they can estimate your whole lifespan.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to be.
Yeah, very accurately.
Very
accurately. Or within 40 years. So that they, if they get it wrong, they're like, oh, we have to go in and speed this along. They just start...
They start putting stuff in your food.
Yeah, stuff.
And so they seamlessly integrate you. So we're deciding for... We're like outside the realm of existence, deciding on what sort of existence we want. And if we choose the last part of our life, they somehow work a way into us getting into some sort of simulation without knowing and being aware of it.
You're aware of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if somehow in this universe, you're sentient from birth, you're able to make informed decisions before being, let's say before you're born. It's like, right, this is the life that you can choose. You can either be in the Truman Show for first 30 years or the final 30 years of your life. What do you want? You pick it there and then, and then you live your life.
Yeah. So either way, you're aware of the fact that you are in the show.
No, you in the final 30 years, you would be. In the first 30 years, you might discover it, but you might not know.
So, that would be really jarring if knowing that that everybody you interact with is paid to do so, and anybody who says, "Oh, I love you, Truman," or "I love you, you're the best," you know, like, oh, wow, that doesn't. How much did you get paid for that?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would choose the last 30 years just so I could be aware of it, and then I don't know, maybe sneak some notes to the directors of like what I'd like to have for my wish fulfillment, I'd love to win a hot dog eating contest. Can you make that happen? Very low bar.
That's like you eat like two hot dogs and win. Oh, that'd be funny. Well, I agree. I think last 30 years, I think that's a unanimous 30 years.
Yeah.
Tell me you got that.
So the next segment is called Wallace Shawn's Classic Blunders. Basically, we're going to discuss what the director and or characters did wrong at any point and what they should have done instead. So, I might kick us off with a few things.
No, wait. I've got to explain why it's called Sean's Classic Blunders.
Why is it called that?
Because in The Princess Bride, if you remember we talked about Princess Bride earlier, listeners, there's another quote from Wallace Shawn in Princess Bride that says, "You fell victim to one of the classic blunders."
You fell victim to one of the classic blunders!
If the director made choices about the movie itself...
Or within, right? Like, either way, like...
Right, you could do that. If you... What poor directorial choices were made? Or also, the characters themselves, did they make, you know, bad choices or classic blunders in the movie? Typically, you would see classic blunders in like, horror movies.
Yeah, okay.
So, that's the kind of...
They should have ran instead of hiding in the cupboard.
Yeah, something like that.
Or, like, in Birds, a woman... the character opens up the door, sees there's a bunch of deadly birds in it, instead of closing the door, gets scared into jumping into the room and closing the door behind her, if you watch that movie.
So there's the point where Truman's in the show with Meryl and he's like pointing out this loop behind them in the rearview mirror from the lady flowers and then the beetle loop. I don't know why the director or whoever's in charge at that moment wouldn't just say stop the loop for a couple of cycles. Because he's looking at it. He's talking about it.
They've all got like earpieces in. Like every single
like
they're
all
earpiece.
They're all hooked up. No one's like out of the loop, it seems. Like they're all very well connected. I don't know why you wouldn't just pause that loop for a little bit.
That's a classic blunder right there.
You fell victim to one of the classic blunders.
I'll go on.
Yeah.
Right, when he's starting to question his reality, Truman, just time up. Put a little stake in the ground. Time up. Done. He's got like a 10 meter radius where he's allowed to walk.
But then it becomes the Christoph imprisonment show, like the one my sequel.
I mean, if they just time, it's simple. He's gonna escape. Your biggest star's on the verge of escaping. You're gonna lose millions and millions of dollars. Just time up.
Do they gaslight him into thinking that it's for his own good and he's gone crazy, or do they just acknowledge it?
No, just get his wife to bring him his breakfast, his waffles, and then don't explain. Why am I tying up? See,
don't worry about it.
Sometimes
about it.
We do this.
Yeah, that's a classic blunder.
That's a classic blunder.
Just tell me, baby.
You fell victim to one of the classic blunders.
So mine was essentially just the backstory that they created in terms of they should have just gone all in with a post-apocalyptic backstory and said, yeah, the far reaches of this area, you don't want to know about that. That's dangerous. And we made this safe haven. Feed that lie to him, and then he'll never want to go out there because he thinks that the rest of the world is either like...
Kind of like the village kind of move.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Should have done that.
Yeah.
Classic easy, blunder. Simple.
That's another classic blunder.
Yeah.
You fell victim to one of the classic blunders!
I thought it was very suspicious that when Marlon finds his dad, right, it comes to his house, he's like, oh, that's why I came in tonight. I found your dad. But he waits a good, I don't know how long it is, they're at the house and they're at the bridge and they have this like long D&M, the Marlon and Truman. And then after all that, he goes, yeah, I found your dad. I was coming to show him, bring him to you tonight. That's something you would like say right at the start if it was like a legitimate thing and not like something that's suspicious and like, why'd you wait so long?
Maury Povich them in for a big reveal at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, making it seem like it's done for like the, you know, the most emotional setting or something like that.
Yeah, he may as well have just said, and Truman, somebody else wants to say something to you. Bring him in! And then they have like an audience of people watching there too.
And it turns out it's also his brother and his dad somehow.
So, I mean, there were a lot of suspicious moments like that, but that one really stood out to me.
I
thought that was a bit of a blunder.
You fell victim to one of the classic blunders!
I had a couple of related ones. So on the topic of how to make the outside scary, just rather than a sea of water, sea of spiders. He's not going to get anywhere near the sea.
And they somehow keep the spiders from just flooding the town.
That's right. They could be mechanical, but they could be real. I'm not going to, you know, be in charge of the logistics here, but...
But so the bridge... So he's afraid of the bridge for the same reason? Because there's spiders underneath?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing would be more cost-effective solution. Maybe this would be the early days before they had enough money to fill the sea with spiders. Just make his shoes really heavy.
Better yet, just cripple him.
So he just can't get very far. His shoes are too heavy. But his shoes have always been that heavy.
And
so
he just,
he's used to it.
He just thinks shoes are that heavy.
Heavy, yeah.
Like, that's
he's
his
never
reality.
Questioned it. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And just lace all the ground with spikes. So he has to have shoes.
Yeah, if you go barefoot, you're in trouble.
Exactly.
And then the spiders have easy access too.
Or, like, the second they clue onto the fact that he's curious about the outside world, they're just Tonya Harding him. And every time he gets curious about, like, leaving, they just crowbar him.
Cripple him.
They just crowbar him in the back
crowbar
of the leg.
It's the
like,
knee.
Oh, I guess I'll have to put that on hold again. Well, focus on the studies.
And the final one, you know, where it all kind of falls apart, where he's trying to escape, and then there's the power plant.
They show him a really scary Microsoft PowerPoint and puts him off.
The power plant leak, and he's talking to the policeman, and the policeman's like, you're welcome, Truman. He's like, that's kind of like one of the key moments.
Yeah.
Just acting.
If they just picked a less famous actor to play Truman, that probably wouldn't have happened. Because it wouldn't be as recognizable. If they didn't pick Jim Carrey, it would have been less noticeable, and it might not have happened.
If they, because this is so, Ricky Gervais said that Kenneth Branagh has the most, like, just nothing face. He said if you try to describe him, there's nothing that stands out. Just Kenneth Branagh, just some guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it would have been fine.
Got that.
Sam, would you rather hit us?
My would you rather is, would you rather, so this is to find out at the age of 40 in this situation that this has been the case the whole time. Would you rather live in a dome, Truman style, where everybody is fake and an actor except for your close partner in the show? They are also, they're real and your relationship with them is real. Or vice versa, that your partner, the person that you're married to, who you think is the closest person to you in the world, is actually fake, and everybody else in the world is actually real.
That's a good one.
So essentially, it doesn't even, for the second one, your partner is fake. You could just have, like, your parents could have just paid somebody to date you or something in this situation.
I'm going to go with your partner's real, because I think that having that one person there you got the most intimate relationship with being real makes it easier to cope with your life being essentially fake.
Yeah.
Whereas, although, no, I'm changing it. I'm changing it because if your wife's fake, then you probably will find it out at some point. And then there's hundreds of other real people that you could go and like have a relationship with.
That's true. Yeah.
And but it would be pretty brutal though to find that out.
Yeah.
And it would be like life changing.
Yeah.
So if I've got a real partner, I'd kind of feel like we're in it together, right? Like, do you find out that the world's fake at some point?
At the age of 40, you find out what has been the case. So even... Actually, yeah, to be a stickler in this situation, regardless of how skeptical and how intuitive and onto it you are, they're so good that it takes
so that long. So it takes till 40. I missed that point. My answer still stands.
Mm-mm. That you would prefer to have your partner...
Fake wife, yeah.
Fake
wife reward.
Yeah.
But I don't know, 40 years, they're kind of your best... Your best years, well, better than your next 4 years, probably, in terms of...
Probably, I guess.
Partnering with people.
And feeling.
So then that whole 40 years has been a lie with this, your romantically involved partner.
I would probably choose, and continue, jump right back into yours, but I would probably choose the wife, be real, because then at least you've both gone through a shared experience of
That's kind of how I feel as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather share that with someone, maybe.
But also, it's kind of, not to make it very meta, but are you choosing now that to bring somebody else, rope them into this whole situation with you in this hypothetical? Like, if you have the choice between those two things.
Or you choose the person.
Oh, yeah, but you choose, before you begin existence, you're in the realm of non-existence, and you go, yeah, no, rope somebody else into me.
Like, this is my ideal person. Fuck up their life too. Can we create this ideal person for me?
No, as in like you bring somebody else in and they just have to... Yeah.
So the dilemma is that you're forcing someone else to live in a cooked world.
Do they know about that? Do they find that out? Because
that maybe, you chose to?
Yeah. That's I feel like you don't have a choice. Right?
Interesting. I like it.
That might be some sort of betrayal that you might not be forgiven for once it's all revealed.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you don't know what you...
So exactly.
That changes it a bit. If that was part of it, then I'd have to take the...
And then also, well, I guess it wouldn't, they can't, those two things can't exist because you can't know that you've done that, but not be aware that you're on a show at the same time, unless you've neuralized and they give you your memories back and go, hey, just so you know, before you were neuralized, you said this and you decided this when you, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So that can't be possible.
Yeah.
That's fine then. I take the partner, the real partner. You'd still have like, because you spend like a large portion of your time with your partner anyway. So it's mostly a real life.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. But then you're those entering moments. A world that's not real.
That's not But the fun. Moments with your partner are real, mostly. So that's good. That's nice. That's something.
All the orgasms are real. It does. Faked.
I'd rather that than the inverse situation where you've got your partner who's fake, and so you look back on all those times, which is the majority of your time again, probably.
Whereas I'm fine if, like, every time the mailman said, hey, how you doing? You doing good? Looking good? That was not real and they were paid to do that. That's fine.
Yeah,
I can live with that.
I'd get him later.
Yeah.
I'd fix him up.
Tell me you got that. The next segment is called Free Man. And we're going to be discussing what would be the first thing Truman does after escaping. Over to you, gentlemen.
Maybe I'll start because I got some real trash fire for this. Not like I couldn't come up with something great. I got a couple of things though. The first thing I'd feel probably is that I'd be really pissed off at everyone and I'd want to get revenge. I don't know if that means a killing spree or become like a serial killer maybe, which is related to a killing spree.
They're actually two distinctly different things.
But like a good one, I don't know. Like a
Dexter style serial killer.
Like a Seven type one maybe. Whereas
but it's 7,000.
Yeah, well, okay, the extras I'll let live. But like anyone who had a speaking role to me, they're gone. They're dead.
That's the first thing he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So if they served you food and it was silent, that's fine. But if they served you food and said enjoy, they're dying.
So they got paid more for speaking lines. It comes down to that. Okay. Extras are just regular Joes. They're just trying to get by. They're just trying to make what they can to make a living. But paid lines... You're a higher rung than an extra.
What if they're a mute character who had a lot of involvement with you though?
I don't know. You'd have to. That's
how many mute characters were there in the Truman Show, Sam?
There might have been one. We don't
if you
know.
Look closely,
you'll see someone not talking but gesturing heavily.
Don't know. I'll leave that up to Truman. The other one was feel like I'd have to go to Fiji with Sylvia.
Sylvia, yeah.
Track down Sylvia, go Sylvia's to Fiji.
Sylvia's not in Fiji, though. Yeah, but I guess he doesn't know that.
But I don't get why he fixated on Fiji when it was the dad who said it, who's real sus and probably he's probably an actor. But then he's like, oh, Fiji, Fiji, Fiji. But he said that. She didn't say that once. I don't know why he fixated on that.
Her dad would not lie to me.
Yeah, I don't know why he's like, oh, that's fact. That's fact. They're going to Fiji.
What'd you have, Sam?
Mine was a very short, simpler one. That it's just a mundane part. One that kind of can roll even mid credits or at the as an after credits scene of him just waiting at the service, does this in the waiting room to get his social security number because he realizes he doesn't actually have legitimate stuff, and so he's just waiting there.
And then his credit card opening and banking.
Credit card. Him talking with the clerk, them not understanding him, saying, no, you don't understand. I don't have any of this. And they're saying, no, we need your birth certificate. And him saying, no, well, I don't know if mine's real. And he's like, what, sir, we can't do this. And then,
they were talking amongst themselves, like, what was wrong with that guy?
They don't even forget. It's been too long. It's been like 24 hours. And they've forgotten who he is.
Exactly. And they're just talking cross purposes. And it goes on for way too long, too. They show it for like 20 minutes while the credits are extended to be really slow.
Is it during the credits, or is it like Avengers style, like right at the tail end?
That would be good. They play it at the end, goes for 20 minutes too long, and people are just going, is anything...
This is ruined the movie for me now, yeah. I had a couple. So, serious one, he changed his name. He wants to get off the grid. So, he changed his name from Truman to Ernest Gautier. Oh. So, Ernest, of course, meaning truth. In German, it means truth, and in English, it means serious and determined, obviously. Ernest, and Gautier means the one who lives an honest and truthful life. So he's all about, he wants everything to be real. He's making a deliberate attempt in his name to seek out truth in his life. So really kind of profound and deliberate way of living his life from now on. And the other one I had was go jet skiing.
You can go either way on that one.
I mean, yeah. Which one he does first, I'm not quite sure. But definitely going jet skiing.
I'd love it as you as the writer or director saying, so I've got two ways minutes. I want to finish this. We could go either way, either this or just go jet skiing.
And he's doing like crazy like tricks and everything. Like, is it natural?
And it's a weird note to end on because does he just seem completely blissful, unaffected?
That's
just
right. Yeah, just loving life, jet skiing.
Tell me you got that.
Good segment, fellas. Next one. Zach, let's hit us with your would you rather.
Yeah, let's hopefully we can back up that strong segment with another strong segment.
That just happened.
Okay, so would you rather be an extra in The Truman Show doing the same scene and the same thing over and over again for 30 years without pay? Like,
say no more, yes.
Or for the rest of your life, once a year, your memory completely resets.
Inside a Truman Show simulation or outside?
Nah, it's just your normal life. The second part of this is just your normal life.
So on for 30 years without pay, and is it every single day or that you're in?
No, you get weekends free. They have.
How do you live?
They have weekend Sunday actors. They have weekend.
So you go
extras. I mean,
so if you're an extra, you have to like go and make your money on the Sundays and Saturdays.
Oh yeah.
And
No. So when you're at the place working, you get like the food that they have there, so you can eat and stuff.
So you need to Ziploc bag some for your weekends, so you can
take some stuff home. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. You take some food home, yeah. But all your other expenses you've got to pay for on your weekend.
Right.
Or your memory fully resets to what level? Like to
just like you know who you are and that, but you forget. Maybe you remember your family.
I feel like you don't need to sell anymore. I mean, yeah.
And you don't, but you don't know. You forget all the skills you learned. You forget what you did a week ago.
Probably the extra, because that's really disruptive. And you couldn't, like, it'd be really hard to progress anything in your life. Other than, like,
depends
your
if you're
life.
Looking, yeah.
I feel like you could memento it and tattoo yourself up so that.
Yeah. It depends if you're a family-oriented person or like a business or career-oriented person, because if you're career-oriented, then you're not going to do very well with this memory reset business.
Yeah. But I plan to be...
family-oriented might be fine.
I plan to be unsuccessful, and so that works great.
Yeah.
Sorry, cut you off.
No. You guys are both wrong, so it's fine.
Which one are you taking?
I'm taking the extra.
Yeah.
So you
got to pay rent on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. I'll wait and work. I'll make sure I take enough scones throughout the week.
Yeah, you do get you do get free food for 30 years though. That's not bad.
But you have to
for like 40 hours of free work.
And then at the end they give you a so long good luck.
I don't recall saying good luck.
At least though, Truman doesn't know it's a lie. You know that what you're doing amounts to nothing. That you're doing a fake mail route where you are just walking, doing the motions,
yeah.
No room for promotion, nothing that you do matters.
No, you can't improve your situation, no.
And you'd be
that's
okay.
30 years. That's 30 whole years.
Yeah. So. That would be torment.
I guess, does your memory stop wiping after 30 years?
No, this is your whole life.
That's your whole life.
I'd still do the whole life because then you get to experience any movie that you love, you get to see it again, any video game that you loved.
That's pretty good.
But you also suck at it though, because you've learned all your skills are gone.
Okay, that's the thing then. Do you keep your like your motor skills and such like that?
They still work, but you have to relearn everything again.
So what goes and what doesn't? Do I lose language completely every time I reset?
You probably should, but let's say you don't.
So I can do is speak.
You can speak your native language,
and that's
anything else you've learned, like other languages, they're gone.
So. For example, I don't know how to use a fork to eat food, and I need to relearn that from scratch. I need to be potty trained again every year?
No, you can still urinate.
Okay, but you didn't explain. What about number twos?
That's a different story.
Okay,
you're gonna need some help.
You should have explained this from the start. That influences my answer.
No, basic things.
Put a big cone over your bath, over your toilet, or over your bath.
Those sort of basic things just come naturally somehow.
Okay.
You don't forget how to go use the toilet.
So a sport, for example,
gone.
Okay.
Completely gone.
Well then, in that
everything
case,
everything you know about that sport, you don't even know that sport exists.
I think
when the new year turns over, you're like, cricket. What's that?
Hopscotch.
You were a hopscotch champion 2 days ago, and now you don't even know the meaning of a word.
I think I'd still choose
the
reset.
Stepping on lines like an idiot. What do these numbers mean? Is it some kind of code?
I reckon this is where the line probably doesn't make it much clearer, but the line for me is you've forgotten how to tie your shoes. But anything more basic than that, you've just remembered. Anything harder than that.
So I don't miss the bowl when I'm peeing.
Yeah, no, you can do that all right.
Oh, that's good. That's something.
Assuming
I mean, the big cone helps, obviously. Yeah. Though.
I don't miss it as much as I normally do.
At the end of the year, you're really bad. You're actually a really bad pisser. And then the next day when your memory resets, you become good at it.
Just
instincts kick in. You're like, oh, this goes straight in.
Because you're meant to aim for the rim.
Yeah,
because it splashes off the other rim.
Exactly.
You somehow pick that up. Like throughout that year,
because
that's the way you're supposed to do it.
Dogs drink from that water. You don't want to taint it. Yeah,
that's right.
All right, next segment. Everybody wants to rule the world. So, gentlemen, if you were the director of the Truman Show, how would you direct it differently? What would you change, or how would you improve it? So I might kick us off. So my main criticism of the director is that if you actually look at the contents of the show, now we don't see the full 30 years, but we get snippets into how the show operates. Generally speaking, beyond some kind of key milestones around him getting married, going to the prom, doing his SATs, whatever, it's incredibly mundane, boring life. I can't really, if you really try and reconcile the reason people are watching it, outside of like the comfort and familiarity that comes with the show, it's not a particularly interesting show. So I think they need to make the show more interesting, right? For example, I had a couple of different ideas of different like kind of enclosed segments that they could include in the show to make it more interesting. I'm just going to rapid fire these 8 because we don't have all day. Locust plague. Tent shortage.
What?
A tent shortage?
Yeah.
That'll hurt.
More wigs.
Oh no, that's good.
Yes.
Prohibition. There's a flood.
Yeah, that'll get him.
A cult takes over over the town.
Yeah.
There's a mice plague. Obviously, not too close to the locust plague. You want to really diverge those up.
They need to rebuild.
Enough time. Yeah, you need enough time for them to rebuild. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bank robberies. swarms of rabid dogs.
Yeah.
Worms in your coffee. loose goats. And killer bees. So those, yeah. I just think a few of those, like, appropriately spaced, like if all that's happening at once, I mean, that would be a very interesting episode, yeah. But I feel like it would just be too intense. So just, you know, he can have periods of normality and other times where he finds a worm in his coffee.
Yeah, I agree with that. They could have just thrown some curveballs at him like that.
Yeah.
And maybe that just made me think of, maybe they could have had like season arcs.
Yes.
Like there's some new mysterious character in town for like this year, and then the whole story develops around that person,
yeah.
And then they're gone again.
That's right.
Bring someone in, you know, this guy brings the locust plague with him somehow. That's good.
That sounds like the perfect thing they would do when they start jumping the shark and ratings are dying. Like, we need to do stuff quick.
Yeah.
And just throw it all in there.
To be honest, it just needs to be more like Lost, I think. More like Lost.
The tent shortage has me really intrigued.
Yeah, I want to see that episode. Yeah.
That's going to hook the viewers in.
What do you guys got?
The only thing I thought here was that maybe, I think if they kept the show, the fact that it was a show, secret for a little while, then the viewer might have been, I think you might have had more of a fun experience going like, oh, this is a bit weird. What's going on here? This place is strange.
Yeah.
Instead of just straight away knowing that it's a setup
for
this one guy. I thought that might have been pretty good.
So they think it's like a kind of, just a kind of mockumentary, not mockumentary, but you know, The Office type show where they're all in on it, but ooh. Mine would be a similar energy to Hayden's, where it would be kind of like Australian Idol and everybody votes on what they want to happen and they shape the show themselves.
I like it.
So, for example, one could be a prompt, could be like, Truman just called his girlfriend the B word. How do you think we should punish him? And then they're like, text beasting to 1-800-TRUMAN if you want to sick a swarm of killer bees on him. If you want a mugger to jump out from behind a corner and stab him, text ouchie and stuff like that.
Did you really write down killer bees?
I did. I really did. And that's why, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Crazy. So many freaky double ups on this one.
Yeah.
And also, like they could have polls for, again, same idea, Facebook polls or whatever. And if 9 million people vote for him to get a birthday present of a bicycle, but 9.1 million people want him to get a big bag of horse shit, that's what he gets.
He
it's
gets
all
the
viewer.
Shit.
It's all viewer decided. Yeah.
And what role does Andrew G play in this?
He actually, weirdly, they choose to put him on the ground floor, like in the world of the show, so he's completely out of place. And he's talking to Truman. Truman doesn't understand why he's being interviewed.
Yeah, and gives him roses randomly as well. Yeah. On to the last segment. So, Eagle Eye Trivia, emceed by our reigning champ. Cham?
Yeah, that's me. I won.
Zach Benno Bennett.
I've won twice.
Zach's won trivia twice.
He's
really proud. he won't shut up about it.
All right. So here's with your questions.
You guys need pen and paper, right?
I like to do my part for the planet, so I'll just use my phone if that's okay.
It's not how we usually do things around here, but I'll probably make an exception.
I'll text my answers to you. Actually,
there's no time.
Question one. What is Spencer's dog's name? Pluto from Hayden and Rex from Sam. Is that a Wallace Shawn reference?
Sure.
Okay, so the answer is Pluto. Hayden gets that one.
Boom.
Sam's off to a
nice job.
Shocker.
One question wrong, shocker.
Okay, the second time, this is question number two, by the way. Second time Truman buys his wife a magazine, what is the headline of the paper the man behind is reading? So Hayden says, forget Europe, which is pretty close. And Sam says, how will it end? Which is way off. The answer is, who needs Europe?
Do I get half a point for that?
Hayden gets half a point.
Oh, okay.
Because that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That was probably a little bit hard. What is the name of the company that Marlon works for? Okay, so Sam says Completely Real and Legit Industries. And Hayden says Insurancy Jones. Insurancy Jones.
You got it right?
So you guys were pretty confident in those answers. They're both good answers, but the correct answer is actually Goodies.
So we were cookies. Yeah, if you put our two answers together,
pretty good. Okay, you can both have half a point.
Hey,
yes.
What's the number of the bus to Chicago?
Oh.
Okay, so Sam says 6969 6969, a classic MacGruber reference, and Hayden says 919. The answer is 329.
Ah, dang.
Ooh.
No points there, I'm afraid.
329. I got one number right.
In the ops center where they're running everything, there's two security staff, and they have something written on their shirt. What do their shirts say? It's the same thing on both. So Sam says Truman imprisoners, and Hayden says love and protect Truman. Truman with an E.
Alright.
Hayden's pretty close. Sam's closer. Not really. That was a good answer, but the answer is love him, protect him. So I'll give you half a point for that one as well. And I've got one more, pretty much a gimme, because you guys have been talking about it nonstop. What does Lauren's badge say?
Oh boy.
So Hayden says, how does it end? Sam says, in what way will things transpire? So I'm going to give you both half a point.
Yes.
Wait, what would yours say?
How does it end?
It says, how's it going to end? So, yeah, half a point each.
Yeah, cool.
I wasn't keeping track of the score.
I think it was me in a landslide, right?
Yeah. Is that why you got all the answers wrong? Because you were trapped in a landslide?
Exactly.
You got two half points, so that's pretty good. I think Hayden ended up with like 3 points, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So, Hayden wins the Shia LaBeouf Eagle Eye Award.
It's so
Trophy Award.
Whoa,
for the first time.
Whoa.
And they are going wild in the crowd over here. And
hell's yeah!
I'm
oh my
blinded
God.
By the shininess of the trophy.
He's got an.
I'll never
surgery.
Be able to podcast again. Because you need your eyes for podcasting.
You need
all right. Love it. Well, that brings us to the end. So, hope. Thank you for listening. Thanks to my terrible and equally good hosts.
Hey, that's
Bennett.
Me.
And Sam?
Yeah.
Screw high-fiving. That's made up for your terrible everything else. No, well done, gents. It was fun. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Tell Me You Got That podcast. See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Love you.
Tell me you got that.